about that day, the saved shall get to heaven, those who have obeyed the gospel, put God first in his life, and faithful in his service, be able to get home in heaven, and be able to shout that victory. It's good to see everyone out this evening. It's always great to come together and study God's word. And this evening, as we go forward with a lesson, I want to talk about those who want a prize but are not willing to work for it. They want certain things in their life, but they're not willing to do anything to gain it for themselves. They want the handout, they want everything free, and they simply just do not want to make the commitment that is needed to be made. And I have a few points I want to make this evening on that mindset, and I ask that you'll put your Bibles as we go through the lesson to point that out. First one I want to bring out, talk about this evening, is to talk about money in itself, that there are those who thrive and want to have money, but they're not wanting to put in the days and the hours and the labor and work that needs to be put in order for one to gain that money. How many go out every day playing the lottery, one or another, or trying for the big millions and hopes that they're able to win by a simple, light sacrifice, you know, a little bit of money here in hopes to gain a bunch of money. Not really willing to put in the work to gain the money in which they are supposed to put in that we need to do. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you open up your Bibles there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and looking there, and in verse 10 it says, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." And so again, as we look at this verse, it makes it clear that man is supposed to work. If we desire to have the food on our table, and we desire to provide for our family as we're supposed to do, then it tells us that the one needs to be willing to put in the time and labor, put in the work. If you do not work, you do not eat. And you know, unfortunately, I want to say, is that this is actually a punishment of something that has come upon all of men. In Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, we go back to the beginning of time. We go back to Adam and Eve, and we look and read here in Genesis 3, and in verse 19, it says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return," because of the sin that Adam and Eve had done and not listening to the Lord, eating of the fruit of the tree. I don't got my PowerPoint up here. Thank you. And so as they do that, they take that fruit and they are punished. And the punishment is that all men are going to have to work in order to provide for their family. Now, they lived in the garden where they could have ate of any other tree and been provided for the rest of their lives. But instead, they were cast out of the garden, and we had never had access to that garden ever again, in hopes that, again, the mindset of what heaven might be like, getting back to being with our God, where God provides all for us, where the tree of life is going to be there, the river of life is going to be there, to never hunger and thirst again. That's where we're striving to get to. But while we live here on earth, we all face this punishment that says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." By the labor and the work that you do, that is how we're supposed to gain these things. But the world doesn't want that. They want the free handouts. The world wants to everybody give it to them. They want the easy path. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 28, Ephesians chapter 4, and looking there and in verse 28, if you turn along and read with me here, it says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hand, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Again, as we change our lives and we give our lives over to God, here's someone who used to be a thief, and they're no longer to steal. They're no longer to go down that route, but rather they're willing to actually put in the work, the time, the labor, not only to provide for themselves, but it says, you know, we do this in the mindset that now you used to take from other people, and now you're going to labor and put in the work and the sweat, and you're going to be able to help others in need so that they are not tempted, as you were tempted once, to steal and take but we put the time and labor in. And again, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 12, if you read along with me there, looking in verse 11. Proverbs 12 and verse 11 here reads, it says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Again, as we look here and we look at the verses that we've looked at, it's bringing out that we have to put the time in. We have to be willing to labor. We have to be willing to do what needs to be done in order to have the food that we want to eat, in order to have the clothes that is on our back, to put the roof over our heads. Another thing that many get caught up in doing and not wanting to really commit to what you're supposed to do, not willing to go the distance that needs to be done, is that they want companionship and a family. Someone who wants to go and live with somebody in their home, but yet they don't want to make that commitment for life. They don't want to get married and tie the knot and say, I have to share half my stuff with you. If things don't work out down the road, we're able to just split and change our ways. You go your way, I go mine, because we're not married. And so my things are mine, your things are yours, and they have not made that commitment to marry one another. And we study the Word of God, and that's what we're supposed to do in Genesis chapter 2, again, going back to the beginning of time, going back to how God designed it and has commanded us to be. In Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 18, there says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. We will make him a helper fit for him. And so again, we want that companionship. We want that partner. God said it's not good that man should be alone. Now again, it's not wrong to live a single life. It's not wrong to go never getting married. We know Paul lived that lifestyle. Paul talked about the benefit of that lifestyle. But God knew that there were temptations and hardship of going through life by oneself. And so here he says it's not good. And so he gave man women. And so Adam gained Eve, a wife, to join together. But he had to give up his independence. You have to be willing to leave the life of being by yourself and be joined to your wife. There in verse 24, Genesis 2 and verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast. He holds fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So again, here, bringing out that they are no longer two, but they are one, that they have joined together, they share all things together, they are to walk with each other, that they gain that companionship, that they become husband and wife, one flesh, that they are now walking together, and again, that commitment. But people don't want to make that commitment. They want the companionship. They want to have someone to be with when they go home. They want to enjoy the sexual opportunities that are there with husband and wife. But understand that if we don't give ourselves over as we're supposed to, then we're not supposed to have it. This is the way God designed it, and it's supposed to be at all times. Again, Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 17, and looking there in verse 17. Proverbs 17, and looking at verse 17. As it reads here, it says, a friend loves at all times, a brother is born for adversity. Again, when you talk to husband and wives that have committed themselves together and that they spend every day with each other, that they often say, well, I'm with my best friend, right? This is my best friend. This is the person I trust in all. And they share everything together. And it says it's at all times. It's not just for the good times and not for the bad times, but they're there always. And Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 4, if you will. As it reads here, it tells us, it says, let marriage be held in honor among all. Again, the world doesn't do that. The world does not hold marriage in honor. They allow the bond, the covenant to be broken for just any reason at all. And the world will try to stop people from getting married. And again, the world goes forth and says you can just live with certain people and commit these actions with each other without any consequence. But it says here it's supposed to be honorable among marriage. And as you read further, it says, let marriage be held in honor among all. Let marriage the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Again, God has blessed us there, and that is there for husbands and wives. But people want to go around that. They don't want to make that commitment. They don't want to put in the work. They don't want to have to say, well, that's my one partner for life. See, people want something, but they're not willing to do what is truly needed to gain it properly, to gain it the way God has designed us to have it. And that goes along with our faith, our religion, and that desire, as we just sang in that song before, to have that home in heaven with our Lord God Almighty. They want to come as close as they can. They want to be, they are nearly persuaded, right? In Acts chapter 26, as we look at Agrippa here, King Agrippa, Acts 26, and looking there in verse 24, it says, and he was saying these things in his defense. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly, for I'm persuaded that none of these things have escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? In some translation, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, whether in short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. And he's trying to persuade him, and he gets him close. People want, right? They want forgiveness. They feel that desire. We talked about it this morning. The natural urge to serve a God, to serve the higher being, to seek out who created us. But then the world takes a step back and says, but if I give in to that, I have to make sacrifices. I have to give up the ways of my life. I have to give up my treasures. I have to maybe lose the power and authority that I have because all these people that are putting me in this position, they want me to stop this teaching of Christ. They want me to stop teaching the truth, and they don't want to hear what you have to say. And so if I give myself over to you, I would probably lose my job. I'd probably be killed myself, be in the same spot you are, in chains. So they're not willing to take that final step. They want to believe. And so they hold on and take verses out of context. They want to say we're saved by faith and faith alone. Where we know James 2 tells us not saved by faith alone. We're not saved by faith alone. We have to go forth and obey the word of God. Jesus said, look, many who say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into kingdom. But those who do, those who obey the will of my Father. We have to be willing to make that sacrifice if we want these things. In Romans chapter 12, and looking there, and in verses 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By the testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So again, we have to be willing to be a living sacrifice. But when that comes up, that's where, again, even some brethren will draw the line. But they're not, you know, I'll follow God, and I'll come to worship, and I'll do these things. But then, if I have to suffer, though, in His name, I have to be willing to tell somebody out in the world or a friend or a family member that I believe that they are wrong. I can't do that. I'm not willing to confess my Lord among the men because I'm afraid I'll hurt their feelings. I'm afraid they'll be mad at me. I'm afraid of... We have to be willing to confess our Lord. We have to be a living sacrifice. We have to be willing to do these things and put off sin, to turn away from it. In Luke 13 and verse 3 there, the Lord says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And we have to be willing to put these sins behind us. We cannot walk in that path any longer. We have been transformed and no longer conformed to the world. Turn along with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and reading there and in verse 34. Matthew 22 and verse 34 says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees and gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets.'" We have to love him with everything, is what those verses are saying. We have to give him all. We have to give him all, everything. Because if we are giving him our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, we've given him everything. We're to serve the Lord with all that we have, to love him with every aspect that we got, every fiber. We serve our God and love him. But the world doesn't want to do that. The world just wants salvation and a home in heaven. To say that they are a child of God without having to make the commitment to God. Without having to call upon the name of the Lord, to actually obey him and follow him and follow in his footsteps, to be like Christ. They want to continue in the ways of the world, but yet gain all the goods that God offers to those who are willing to put the world off. We'll finish with Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38, if you will. Matthew chapter 10, and looking there in verse 38. It says, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And so here, again, it brings out that you have to be willing to make the sacrifice. You have to be willing to daily take up your cross and follow the Lord. And so we offer the invitation to those who are willing to do what needs to be done, willing to take the step, to come forward and commit themselves to God, starting by putting sin off, acknowledging to yourself and to God, repenting and putting those sins off, confessing your faith in the Lord, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized, immersed in the water, washing your sins away, and through your faith, reaching the blood of Christ. That is what is washing your sins away. Coming up in newness of life, coming up a child of God, receiving that spirit of adoption. If we can help you in doing that, or if we can assist you in anything else, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?